This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Joe Fortenbaugh, is our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. And, of course, you see his work on the Four Letter Network. And Joe joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Joe, good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning, Joe.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Always a pleasure. It's an interesting time of year. You have a lot of people heading into this weekend saying to themselves, embrace it, everybody. There's only three games left. We've only got three games left, and then it's all over. And I think to myself, but yeah, we're going to have about 50,000 props we can bet for the Super Bowl. So the reality is we have hundreds of thousands of bets left. Life is pretty good.
So generally speaking, before we get to the nitty-gritty, how would you describe the level of confidence in one Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco this week?
That's a great question. That's a great question. That's the type of thing that gets you on radio here in San Francisco with a question like that. I would say that the confidence level is quite high, but it's taken some time to get people to come around on Garoppolo. There are two key factors at play here that have kept people at bay. Number one, he got a very big contract very early in the process. So people were very hesitant. They didn't understand. $27 million a year, essentially, five-year deal. The guy only played a handful of games at the end of a bad season. He looked good, but they thought it was too soon, or at least some people did. So they were hesitant. That's why rookies tend to get the benefit of the doubt. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Daniel Jones, guys like this, they can play poorly, but they're still on rookie deals. Once you sign the first deal past the rookie deal, that's where the criticism really tends to amp up. That's where they're really going to put you in the crosshairs, although the rookies take their fair share of heat as well. I do realize what city I'm talking in. So that was number one. People wanted to see the big numbers. Number two, we have this misconstrued approach to how we evaluate quarterbacks and what we determine is acceptable as a franchise quarterback and what isn't. For example, some people will ask, is Jimmy Garoppolo a franchise quarterback? And then they generally follow that up with, like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. Well, yeah, those guys are franchise quarterbacks. They're also Hall of Famers, right? So we take some of these younger guys, and anytime we're going to compare them to anyone, we compare them to Rodgers and Brees and Brady and Wilson because those are the guys that are franchise quarterbacks. Those are also Hall of Famers. Those are the rare breed. So my criteria for a quarterback is very simple. Does the guy look like the moment's too big for him? Does the guy look like someone with 90 seconds to go, he's 80 yards away, he's got to take you down the field for a touchdown? Do you have confidence in that guy? And if you do, that's a franchise guy. And people have confidence in Garoppolo to get that done. He did it big in the New Orleans game. That was something that I think shut a lot of people up. He won at Seattle in Week 17. He does have a tendency to throw a bad pick here and there. We saw it in the Minnesota game. But that's because he's a gambler by nature. He's got a little bit of Brett Favre in him. And I know everyone at Green Bay gets all upset when I say that. I'm not saying he is Brett Favre. I'm saying his style is a little bit like Brett Favre in that he'll make some very beautiful plays. Look at the 3rd and 17s that he converted, plural, at the end of the Rams game in Week 17, or Week 16 that was. But he'll also throw some bad picks like Favre used to back in the day. So the confidence level's pretty high.
When we talk about prop bets for the Super Bowl, I'm sure you heard from Dustin already because, of course, he looked up Demi Lovato's timing. That's his favorite. The length of the national anthem is his favorite wager somehow. Are you already working on that stuff? Are you relying on – are you trusting what Dustin calls you with?
Yeah, he as a radio professional, he should know better than to interrupt my radio show with that nonsense. But As a degenerate gambler, he should also know that I want that information as fast as possible. And he hit me up with that. I think it was yesterday. As soon as they announced it, I got a text from him that she was singing the anthem, and then he immediately went back to a World Series from like 2011 and found a time it took for her to sing. That is just brilliant. Brilliant handicapping right there. You don't find handicapping like that on the streets on a regular basis. All right, I'll let you guys in on why that's so popular. I haven't even said this in San Francisco, so I've never really talked about this on radio before. I've just talked about the bet, but I'll talk to you guys about it. The anthem prop is so popular because the gambling community tends to have a guy on the inside during the Saturday rehearsal.
Right.
So here's how this works, and there's a moron out there. I'm not going to say his name, but he outed this last year, and he put all of our good hard work in the peril for the future because everyone's kind of starting to catch on to this. But what happens is whoever's singing the anthem does about five renditions of the anthem on the Saturday before the game. They'll be in the stadium, and they'll sing the anthem five times, and it's generally going to be recorded. Someone's in the stadium, they record the five renditions, they send out the times, everyone in the gambling community sends it to each other, and everyone bets their you-know-what off as much as they possibly can to beat the market on this thing. And that's why it's so popular, because the number that comes out is always bang on, because it's a recording. So Pink 2 years ago, bang on the number. Whoever it was last year, bang on the number. Growing up in the Philadelphia area 2 years ago, quick story, my oldest was born Super Bowl weekend. So every year during the Super Bowl, my family, my wife's family comes out. We all celebrate the birthday, all that stuff. So the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. My family's all Eagles fans. My wife's family's from Buffalo, so they're obviously way out of the playoffs. They'll root for the Eagles. They're playing the Patriots, and this is like the biggest day of the year. But I had the biggest wager of my life on the anthem. This was when Pink was singing it 2 years ago. So I'm sitting there, and my brother is the only one in the room. One of my brothers is the only one in the room who knows what's going on. And I'm on the other side of the room, and as soon as she starts singing, I hit the record button on my cell phone. And I'm watching my cell phone's stopwatch as I'm listening to the anthem, and I look down at one point, and I'm so stressed out, I'm watching my forearms pulsate. Like, my forearms got really swollen and red, and I started freaking out, and I looked at my brother, and he's staring at me, giving me this look, and it's sheer panic. It's about a minute 56 of the most panic I've ever endured. My wife going through labor, that was nothing. Obviously, for me, I was just there holding hands. But, like, this minute 57 was as stressful as it could be, and God bless Pink. She comes in, bang on the number. She's like 4 seconds under or whatever it needed to be. I cash the bet. I look at my brother. I'm pouring sweat. And God bless my mother. She looks at me and she goes, okay, here we go. Come on, Eagles. I just want to see one Super Bowl before I die. And I look at her and I'm like, everybody get out. This game, I don't even care about this game. Forget about this game. We won the bet. We're done. Let's all move on.
So there you have it. Do we know yet what the number is for Demi Lovato? Or you have to wait till the rehearsal?
You got to talk to Dustin. I think he set the number. He was so fast on that thing.
156 is what it set at.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is we're going to have 156 sitting out there, and then come Saturday, that's going to be the thing. If you want to try to beat this, you're going to have to just hang tight, and it's going to probably get leaked on Twitter, but the second you see that market move, they're going to put it right on the number, and then you're going to have a frenzy, a feeding frenzy to get down on that thing. So, yes, that's for those who like – and that's like Super Bowl morning. Someone eventually leaks the color of the Gatorade, and you see everyone going nuts on that. When you see the market move that big, that fast, that means the word got out on some of those props.
How about the football? How about the games? Let's get to the nitty-gritty there, Joe, before we run out of time.
All right, let's start with the AFC Championship game. I have bet against Tennessee in each of the last 2 weeks. It was the only game I lost last week when I came on the show. We went 3-1 on the football. We had LSU Monday night, so we had a really good run. I've been wrong each of the last two games, so I have two options here. I can either try to get on them and risk mushing the whole thing, or I can stay the course. Because my analysis, I still think at some point it's going to come true. It just hasn't worked in the first two games. I am going to lay the 7 with Kansas City. Right now, there are 7s and 7.5s out there. The pros like Tennessee. They're going to gobble up all the 7.5s. I think right now they're waiting to see if maybe they can get 8 or better, but they're going to take the 7.5s. And if you want Tennessee, you got to get that now because you don't want to be on 7. I see some 7s. I'm going to take the Chiefs at 7. The logic is still the same. Tennessee, this is going to be their fourth straight road game. At Houston, at New England, at Baltimore, at Kansas City. At some point, that's got to catch up to them. That's number one. Number two, if they fall behind in this game, specifically in the second half, Derrick Henry is not going to be the factor that he has been in every other game. If you're down two scores to Kansas City, which is very possible with the way they play offense, you are not going to be able to continue running the football. That means Ryan Tannehill is going to have to make some plays. Now, this is the easiest of the three defenses they faced over the last 3 weeks, but again, it's a very hostile environment, and Kansas City had a big-time wake-up call early in that game against Houston. I think that's going to be a rallying cry for the Chiefs all week in regards to getting out fast and sharpening up their game. One thing you noticed with all the teams that were on the bye playing last week, they were all off in their rhythm and timing, whether they won or lost. The Niners looked really good, but the thing was, the receivers bailed out Garoppolo. His timing with them was off. You saw it at the beginning of the Kansas City game with the drops, and you saw it at the beginning of the Baltimore game with the INT that Andrews had go off his fingers. All these teams were a little out of rhythm. Even the Packers, who started fast, but then faded late. So the way I see it, it's going to be a sharper version of Kansas City. I think they're going to score at will. This Tennessee defense is bottom 10 in pass defense. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are going to get their points up, and that's going to take Derrick Henry out of the equation for a little bit. And if Henry's out of the equation, it becomes a completely different offense. It's a lot of points delay, and like I said, the pros are probably playing Tennessee 7.5. I can see that coming from a mile away. I am going to lay the 7. I think Kansas City's going to put it on him. In the afternoon game, it's going to be very similar. I laid the 7 immediately with the Niners. I'd still lay the 7.5 with the Niners. You can call me square for playing the favorites here. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a sitting duck in this football game. We talked about it on this show last week, the return of Dee Ford and what it means to this defense. During the regular season, Ford and Bosa on the field together, 24 sacks in 164 snaps. With one or both on the sideline, the team still had 24 sacks, but it took 801 snaps to get there. Dee Ford's impact cannot be understated. He played last week. Niners racked up 6 sacks against Kirk Cousins. They couldn't let him breathe. Same thing's going to happen to Rodgers, in my opinion. And remember, Green Bay ranks 23rd in run defense. San Francisco loves to run the football. They ran it 47 times last week against the Vikings. That's the plan. Run the ball, and then when you suck the defense up, hit them with the play action over the top. Garoppolo's due for a bigger game. I don't think that's great handicapping analysis, but I trust him in the spot. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be under a lot of duress. Remember, this Green Bay team is similar in my analysis to what I was telling you about Seattle. I think they're fraudulent. I think they got a nice, big, fat record that's built on a house of cards. Right now, they're 14-3 with a scoring differential of less than 80. Meanwhile, if you look at the Chiefs, I think they're 13-4 right now, but they have a scoring differential close to 200. Scoring differential is very indicative of how a team should play. For example, if you're an 8-8 team, you should score as many points as you give up over a large enough sample size. So when you're sitting there at 14-3 and you have a scoring differential of about plus 80, there's a lot of question marks there. Not only that, they let Seattle get back in that game last week. I don't trust them, so I'm laying it with the favorites in both games.
Joe, you're the best, buddy. Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend, Joe. Good stuff.
Love you, boys. I'll talk to you soon. Go Chicago.
All right, pal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.